From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Joe Shaneman. It's State of Nevada. 9/11, the Great Recession, the pandemic. Every time the country stumbles, Nevada gets hit especially hard because we're basically a one-horse state. Casinos, resorts, and tourism keep us afloat. So the idea of drawing businesses to diversify the economy has been around for a long, long time. And in fits and starts, it's happened. A little with lithium and batteries, some tech, and those gigantic distribution centers both north and south of the state. But is it the movie industry that would really benefit Nevada? Does it have the potential to employ tens of thousands of people in higher paying jobs? And if it does, what are we willing to pay for that? Because there is a price. Two proposals, legislative bills, are in various stages of being crafted for state lawmakers to look at next year. One of them is backed by Warner Brothers, UNLV, and real estate company Bircher. The other is backed by Sony Pictures and the Howard Hughes Company. Assemblywoman Sandra Hautegui from Las Vegas is proposing the bill supported by Sony, and she just released that idea a few weeks ago. She's with us, along with Gene Mattis, who covers the movie industry for Variety magazine. Sandra and Gene, thank you both so much for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Glad to be here as well.
Great to have you both. And if you, the listener, have a question or a comment, our number is 702-258-3552 or email son@knpr.org. Assemblywoman, I'm going to start with you. First, what does your bill say in terms of tax incentives per year, how many years, and any other details?
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Thank you for the opportunity to come on. Although the bill is not finalized and the bill is going to go through the entire legislative process and have hearings and have input from legislators just like any other bill, what we have proposed is, based on the discussions we had during the last legislative session and during the interim with my legislative colleagues, and it's a 15-year proposal with an additional $95 million in new film tax credits. $80 million would be for the Sony Summerland projects, and then an additional $25 million for independent producers outside of the studio.
Okay. What kind of things do those tax incentives cover? What kind of production work or equipment would they pay for?
Well, it would be one of the things that I'm really proud about the bill that we are in the process of working on is that it's for TV, it's for film. We've actually worked with nonprofits like Greener Planet to see if their films would qualify. But one of the things that I think is a highlight of our bill is that we've actually put in parameters. We're putting in DEI requirements to provide opportunities to underrepresented groups. We're putting in residency requirements to guarantee that we are putting Nevadans to work. And for a TV or film to be eligible for the maximum 30% credits, they have to meet all of those DEI and residency requirements, whether you're a film or whether you're a TV series that's being produced here. You have to meet those requirements and undergo an audit to guarantee that those are met before a single penny is given to you in the form of a tax credit after you've already produced your film and TV series.
Okay. You know, when Senator Roberta Lang proposed her bill last year, and then she was on this program with a revised version of it earlier this year in March, she said a big part of it is creating educational opportunities. And so UNLV has partnered with her on her bill with Warner Brothers, and if it is approved, that soundstage would be built on UNLV property. Is your bill intended, or does it have some of the same inroads into education?
Oh, absolutely. The Howard Hughes Corporation and Sony are committed to education and investing in workforce training and development. Part of that commitment is to build training facilities. One of them is going to be located on the Nevada Partners campus, and that's going to help train a future workforce and create a pipeline for us. They are actually going to be creating another training facility in the city of Las Vegas, and they are doing that in partnership with Clark County. And there is partnerships and conversations going on with the ACDC as well to expand training opportunities. Now, and that's the Asian Community Development Council. I shouldn't use the acronym.
Okay. Now, if this is approved and yours is the plan that wins, Sony Pictures has said they'd build a soundstage here. Warner Brothers, which again supports Lang's bill, said they would commit $500 million a year. They said they would commit that to the economy for the 17-year length of her bill. What would Sony commit beyond construction, I guess, of a soundstage.
Yeah, and I'm not familiar with the Warner Brothers bill. I will be meeting with them this week to be briefed on their bill. But what Sony's committing is we have a shovel-ready project that's ready to go. It's going to be a $1.8 billion project that's privately financed, meaning they are financing 100% of the build, which will create 19,000 new construction jobs. And then because they're not just building sound stages, because they are building a village that's going to be complete with it. Well, it's actually 100 acres mixed use production studio development. So 100 acres of sound stages, retail, business, hospitality. It's a village, not just sound stages. And because of that, they're going to create not just the 19,000 construction jobs during the construction phase of it, but they are actually going to create 15,000 permanent jobs after post-construction. And those jobs, you're looking at six-figure income jobs.
You know, I wonder about the long-term benefits. And I'm going to refer to Georgia, which has been the go-to state for the industry for some 20 years or more. It's estimated that Georgia now has more square footage of studio space than Los Angeles. It also employs about 25,000 people in the movie and TV industry. In addition, in 2024 so far, film and TV productions there have spent about $2.6 billion in that state. But I wonder if they're the outlier, because some studies say the return on taxpayer dollars invested is pretty low typically. So what do you expect here, and how do you answer critics who say this might be just a waste of money?
Well, one of the things is, I want to touch on a few points, Joe, is one of the things is I think Nevada, Las Vegas in general, geographically makes sense because we are close to the worldwide hub, right? We are close to Hollywood. And what I've heard from the industry is that they want to do business with states that align and are compatible with their values. And I think that's Southern Nevada. So I'm confident that we are going to have the ongoing production here. But one of the things that we've actually been able to estimate is that this project is going to create $2.87 billion in economic impact during construction. But we're estimating about $2.85 billion per year once construction is completed and the studios and the village are fully operational. And one of the things I think is important about the film tax credit bill is that the state's not actually investing any dollars ahead of time, right? The state's only investing once production is complete and they've made the investment in Nevada. So even if the bill is passed, say the legislature moves forward with the Sony Studios, Sony Howard Hughes Studios project, then they are investing $1.8 billion of private dollars and creating those 19,000 new jobs without the state having invested a single cent. And then once that's completed and they've created 15,000 jobs because they are starting to produce, whether it's film or TV, the state will still not invest a single dollar until they've gone through the audit, meaning all of that economic output is already happening in the state. And that's the, you know, during construction and post-construction economic output is happening without the state having invested a single penny. The state's not investing a penny until the production is completely complete.
Yeah, the companies have to come back to the state and then justify why they are asking for money to cover certain expenses. They have to prove that they have done these certain things operated in a certain way.
Correct, that they have spent the money, that they have produced the film, that they have met our DEI requirements, that they have met our residency requirements.
Now, Senator Lange's bill is pretty similar in its tax credit expansion. How do you see your two bills differing?
I'm not very familiar with their bill. I will actually have the opportunity to meet with them and with Warner Brothers later this afternoon, but I'm not familiar with the specifics of their bill. What I know is the specifics of our bill, which is a 15-year program and only an additional $95 million in new film tax credits, $80 million again for the Sony Summerlin Project Studios and $25 million for independent producers. And that $25 million really came from us listening to my colleagues at the legislature who said, we want to be able to support small, independent Nevada producers as well, right? They need to be eligible for this. You know, if they're filming at their own private studios or if they're filming offsite and not filming in the Sony Summerlin studios.
Yeah. And if this, if your bill is approved, it's only Sony that would be able to, as I understand it from talking to people in the industry, they're the only ones who would be able to benefit from these tax credits. The $95 million isn't enough to spread between two studios, or do you see it differently?
No, so we know that $80 million is going to be set for the Sony Summerlin studios, right? And then $25 million for independent producers outside of the studios. But Sony studios isn't going to be the only production happening at the studios, right?
Right.
Netflix can come in and produce at the studios and be eligible for those tax credits as well. And that's just as an example.
You know, some people are going to be skeptical about this because in 2014, the state approved more than $1 billion for Tesla. And then last year in 2023, Nevada lawmakers and the governor approved $380 million in potential tax breaks for the Oakland A's to move here and build a stadium. People say our schools need more money. Our medical and mental health systems are in desperate need. So right now, how would you sell this to a taxpayer, to people concerned about education, mental health, and a lot more in the state?
Joe, you started this program with some great facts. Our economy predominantly depends on the health of a single industry. And so whenever that industry hits a roadblock, our state suffers and those things that we care about suffer. Mental health, public education, those all suffer. We saw it during the Great Recession and we saw it during the pandemic because we are dependent on just a single industry. And since I've been elected since 2016, we've been talking far too long about diversifying our economy. And that's exactly what we're trying to do here. One of the hardest moments in my career at the legislature was having to be called into a special session in 2020 because hospitality and tourism shut down, having to go take votes on what programs, what essential programs we were going to have to cut because we did not have revenue in our state to support them. And we're talking about NICU programs. We're talking about PICU programs. We were talking about autism programs. We were talking about public education, furloughs to state employees. I never want to be in a position because we are reliant on one economy to have to make those decisions again. And I think this is leading us in the right direction. We have an opportunity to diversify our economy, not just bring jobs, but bring good paying jobs to Nevada, jobs that pay six figures, jobs that allow people to start a family, have a roof over their head, food on their table, send their kids to college. And that's what this opportunity is providing Nevada.
Assemblywoman Sandra Hadaghi, Nevada Assembly District 41. I know you got to go. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Joe.
And if you're out there listening and you have a question, the number is 702-258-3552. Our email is son@knpr.org. And now with us is Gene Mattis. He knows Warner Brothers. He knows Sony Pictures because he covers the industry for Variety Magazine. Gene, again, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So, Gene, earlier, we talked about this commitment by Warner Brothers to spend $8.5 billion, that's $500 million a year, in Nevada for 17 years. I wonder how significant or even different that is compared to how these companies operate in other states that offer tax incentives. I mean, is that something new?
The biggest state in terms of tax incentives is Georgia. And they spend about $1 billion a year in tax credits. It's been less recently because there's been a pullback in the industry and there was a strike last year. But roughly speaking, the last few years, it's about $1 billion a year in tax credits that they put out. And it really has turned Atlanta into, as you said, a major production hub. Would this be competitive with that? I mean, there's a whole tier of states that are probably in that range of maybe $100 million a year. So New Mexico is around there, Louisiana, a handful of other states, maybe Illinois, Pennsylvania, are all sort of in that range. So it would put, Nevada would be definitely in that league, but not anywhere close to what Georgia is doing.
Because of our proximity to California, and this is something that Sandra Hadaghi mentioned, would it make Nevada perhaps a little more enticing to film production companies out of California?
Potentially. I think the attraction would be, you obviously have an experienced crew base in Los Angeles, and they could, commute relatively easily to Las Vegas, whereas, it's much more of a headache to go to Atlanta, for instance, or even to Albuquerque, where there's a lot of filming going on. So it's a little closer, that's a little more convenient, but I think that also feeds into the concern you might have in Nevada of like, are we creating permanent jobs here, or are we just sort of attracting jobs that are, going to last for 6 weeks and then you go back to Los Angeles? So, I would think that that might be a concern from an economic development standpoint of like, are these real local jobs, or are we just kind of attracting commuters?
Yeah, and Assemblywoman Huttigie did mention that part of the provisions in her bill would require people to live here. We'll see if that holds up. When these credits expire, let's say in Georgia, if they ever would expire, do you think, just based on your knowledge of the industry in California, that they pull back, that they stop doing as many productions in Georgia? And I guess I ask this because I wonder if incentives like this are a forever thing.
Definitely the trend has been for it to be a forever thing. There certainly are states that have created a credit, and then, during the recession, a bunch of the Great Recession of 2008, 2009, a bunch of states dropped it, and you saw the production just vanish in those states. And Michigan would be an example of that. It just totally went away. And I think that's they've talked in Georgia about, well, maybe we should put a cap on this. And the fear has been, yeah, we have a successful industry today, but if we pulled back in any way on this credit, the industry would just dry up and go somewhere else where they are. And that definitely the trend is for the studios to go wherever the subsidies are, and they can, get 30% of their costs back wherever wherever they have these credits, and so they will just go wherever they can do that.
I wonder how you view this competition between Warner Brothers and Sony and the proposal, their proposals, which again are coming by way of state lawmakers here. Are the state's high, stakes high for those companies, or could they take it or leave it?
I think it's interesting. Most other I mean, I think I'm aware of every other credit in the country. I don't think any of them are geared just to one company. I think all of them, in one way or another, are sort of open to whoever wants to do filming in that state. There are a few sort of one-off deals in certain places. Netflix in Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, has a particular deal. They've got a deal in Albuquerque for a studio. But, when you're looking at statewide programs, it's usually sort of first come, first serve, or a lottery system, or some kind of arrangement where multiple companies benefit and the government isn't trying to pick winners and losers. So I would think, there might be some pressure to find an agreement that everyone can live with so that it's not one side wins and the other side loses. But it sounds like the fiscal capacity here is not such that they can do both projects. And so that's sort of creating this competition. I'm sure they would rather not be in competition. I'm sure they'd rather do both and not have that arrangement. But, I would think by the end of the day, they would have to get to something that sort of treats everybody with some kind of parity, but who knows?
And again, our number 702-258-3552. You can also email son at knpr.org. And I do have this question emailed to me from Ian in Las Vegas, who says, I wonder if the high costs, the high taxes in California are part of the reason Hollywood film studios and production crews want to do business outside of California. And Gene, I'll direct that to you.
Sure, that's definitely part of it. Crew members in Los Angeles make more than crew members in Georgia, that's for sure. But the other part of it is in California, there is a tax incentive for film production, but it's not nearly at the scale that, it is in other places. And, most of the production that happens in California is unsubsidized. And so they really are, if they were deciding today, where would I build my studio? It would not be Los Angeles, because the state of California does not subsidize every production where Georgia does. So, Yeah, definitely. In terms of why are productions, it's a big issue in Los Angeles, among crews of like, why do I have to fly to Atlanta to work? Or people, uproot their whole lives and move to Atlanta, and it's called runaway production here, and they've been fighting it for a long time, and that's why we have a state tax credit in California, is because
Wow.
they're trying to stop the flow out of the state to other states. But the reason for it primarily is these state level tax credits, and obviously there's UK and Canada and other countries as well that offer similar programs.
That's a great point. I'm going to get back to that, but I want to go to a caller, Jason from the Paradise area. Jason, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead, Jason.
So, in regards to the assemblywoman calling,
Yeah.
like it was really cool to hear, like, oh yeah, we're gonna generate jobs for locals here, and like six figure incomes, but like you're not gonna get a six figure income without education being funded. You're not gonna get people into college to get those degrees to get six figure incomes. Like it's a really nice thought. And like, I'm not opposed to creating jobs for especially locals. I work in a casino, and yeah, I guess if we get hit by another economic downturn, yeah, I'm gonna suffer. But like, if I throw in all my chips to a studio where I could just be stuck at the same wage, not really going forward, not even a chance to get those six-figure incomes because education isn't a thing.
Yeah.
Like I'm 38. I'm about to go back to college, so I can get a better job. And yeah, maybe I could get one of those six-figure jobs at a studio. But like, a lot of things I'm hearing, I am a transplant, is that the education system out here for kids isn't great.
Yeah, so, Jason, I'm gonna hold you there and kind of redirect your question to Gene Mattis. Gene, part of the selling point for these incentives a year ago and back in 2023. Is that you don't necessarily need a four-year degree in order to get potentially a $90,000 to a six-figure job. Is that the case in the industry, even outside of California?
Yeah, definitely you don't need a degree to work in these below-the-line jobs. And it is a very good middle-class income, certainly here in Los Angeles. The people who work in cruise, I mean, it's hard work. It's, 16-hour days sometimes. But it also is very well paying compared to the other alternatives. So yeah, I mean, it's certainly good middle class union jobs. That is a very strong selling point for the entertainment industry.
And Jason, thank you so much for that question. And Gene, when the Supreme Court a couple of years back opened sports gambling to just about any state that wanted to legalize it, there was a fear here that it would dilute Las Vegas's kind of stranglehold on that industry. The same fears came when casinos began popping up nationally and around the world. I wonder, and you sort of inferred this maybe, I wonder if anybody in Hollywood is worried that another state with a good incentive package will dilute California's production industry.
Yeah, they definitely don't like it, in the unions locally in Los Angeles. They don't like the idea of production that could be taking place in Los Angeles taking place in some other state. They don't like it, in Sacramento. They feel like, this is our industry, and how dare some other state try to poach our industry. But, the studios are looking at it from a real sort of bottom line perspective, and they will go wherever the money is. And from their perspective, if that's Georgia, we'll go to Georgia. If that's New Mexico, let's go to New Mexico. And if it's Nevada, we'll go there too. So there is a sort of tension between the different stakeholders in the industry about that.
Is this something that's being talked about much in the industry in California?
Definitely runaway production. I mean, certainly in a time of, we had a strike last year that went 6 months. There's just been a general pullback in investment in TV shows, particularly with the sort of streaming era, kind of the peak TV era kind of coming to an end, and kind of right sizing of the industry, if you want to call it that. So work has been very slow. It's been very slack for people who are used to just a few years ago, just going from job to job to job. Now they're just sitting by the phone. And whenever that happens, they start to go, well, we need to do a better job of offering a better tax credit here in California because look, everybody's going to Georgia. Now, if you go to Georgia, I think they're also saying like there's less business here as well, just because there's a general industry-wide downturn. But I think there's a big perception in Los Angeles that all these other states are kind of eating our lunch and we need to do something about it.
Oh. So do you think the 95 million or whatever it comes out to be, under 100 million in tax incentives in Nevada, would that be big enough to really turn the tide here, to create something significant here? Or do you think it's we'd really be competing maybe with one hand tied behind our back against these other states?
Well, I think it would definitely put Nevada in the conversation. To the extent that it's tied to a single site or a single project, you're sort of putting all your eggs in that basket, and then you have to wait for the development to actually come online. There was a similar debate in Arizona a couple of years ago, and they passed a credit that's going to be, it's around 100 million right now, and it's going to be 125. And a lot of that was similarly geared toward, you know, you get an extra bonus if you do your project at an Arizona-based studio facility, and just so happens there's a couple of projects that were sort of in the pipeline waiting for this tax credit, and now they've got the tax credit, and they're still developing those. They haven't come online yet. So I think the argument for tying it to a piece of infrastructure is that makes it more permanent. The argument against it is that, you know, it takes longer and not everybody can make use of it. You know, if you want to go shoot somewhere else in the state, if you want to use some exterior somewhere else, then it might not be eligible. And it sort of limits the usefulness of it.
All right. I want to thank Jean Mattis, film industry reporter for Variety magazine, and Assemblywoman Sandra Hautege, Democrat from Las Vegas.